Podtacular, episode 387, Spartanop Survey Results.
Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, The Storm, and we don't have Brent this week. He's actually run into a few computer issues, so he will not be on for the next couple of weeks or so. So thoughts are out to you, Brent. We'll see you back here hopefully within a couple of weeks or so. Hopefully right after PAX would be really, really awesome. It'd be cool if you were back next week, because we got a pretty special guest lined up next week. But if you're not, hope that you're doing well out there, buddy. But to temporarily take his place for this podcast, we have Molten Sloa on. Welcome to the podcast.
Good morning.
Well, yes, as we're recording this, it is early morning Thursday, as in just past midnight Thursday. So, yeah. We were waiting for the bulletin to come out. It hasn't come out yet.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's up right here, and we're going to talk about it right now. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
So you may hear a cut in the podcast somewhere. So we're going to be talking about the bulletin. Of course, we're weeks away. By weeks, I mean more or less days away from PAX and the Global Championship Finals.
Only
and
14 days, 20-something hours.
And I'm not going to get into that specifics.
Not like I'm counting or anything.
I think you are.
Yes.
So it's going to be a blast. I know I'm getting in on Wednesday. A lot of people are getting in on Wednesday. Some people are leaving Monday. Some people are leaving afterwards. So it's going to be just a blast overall. Really looking forward to it. Get to meet a lot more community members that I know through Halo and some other places for the first time, and then meet up again with other people that I've known through going to conventions for the last 2 years or so. Mitch being one of these people. So it's going to be really cool to be back there and the vibe of the tournament and how I have all that competitive Halo going on is going to be pretty insane.
I'm so jealous that 343 has taken over the Benaroya, because that's not worked by enforcers. That's all Xbox audiovisual team.
Yeah. You have to get over there on your break times doing your enforcer stuff.
Also, if you haven't figured out, hi, I'm a PAX enforcer. I don't speak for PAX. I just speak for Sloa. And even then, yeah.
So, talking about a little background info, this is the first time you've been on the show, and it's been long overdue, actually.
Well, this isn't the first time you've had me on as the only guest.
Well, it's the first time we've had you on an actual numbered episode, I believe.
That was on... Are we counting the Xbox One reveal and the Halo stuff that came out of that? I was on 300 for, like, 10 minutes.
Oh, were you?
I think so. I'm going to go with yes.
Okay. Then I guess this isn't your first numbered show. But I don't think we've done really quite a proper interview for you. So why don't you tell the kind folks at home what you do around the Halo community and how you got your start pretty much doing what you do.
Hi, I'm Sloa. I'm a jack of all trades, master of none around the Halo community. Throughout my time in the Halo community, I've been a podcaster, a community leader, an organizer, a punching bag, a photographer, accused of having love affairs with stuffed sheep, and a navigator. Yeah, that sounds
all
about
right. Interesting portfolio that you have there.
It's I'm well-traveled.
I see.
And I got started in the Halo community back in 2000. When did Halo 3 come out? 2007.
2007.
So 2008, mid 2008, I got Halo 3 and the Xbox 360 for the first time, and jumped onto HBO and found the Halo community and just kind of made friends and been whatever I could do to help out since. I love volunteering for normally a lot more than I can handle. And it's very fun to rise up to the challenges and see exactly what I can and can't do. And I absolutely love Halo and all the lore, the soundtrack. I'm a big tech guy, so I'm really, really focused on the design contacts, design decisions with some of the technical stuff that goes into Halo, like the rendering and how many AI you can have on screen and different AI pathing and cat driving your warthog directly into a wraith and then immediately off a cliff. Not that that happened several times to me in my solo legendary run of Reach.
I think that's happened to everyone at least once who's played Reach.
Or that Goram elite on the edge of the last level that you have to keep jumping on, who always moves away at the last minute.
I'm not sure I know which elite you're talking about.
It's the last level of Halo Reach that's not the one that you have to sit on the MAC gun. And you have to... There's an achievement for jumping off that cliff and getting an assassination.
Oh, yeah, at the very beginning.
Right as you land on him.
At the very beginning, yep. Yeah,
and he'll, like, maybe 1 out of 100 times you'll be able to get it because he'll always just suspiciously move a little bit to the left right when you're about to hold down that right bumper button, and you will splatter yourself and... It's interesting to me going back and watching those save films and seeing, well, okay, what part of code did he hit every single time that he moved out of the way?
Yeah. That's AI stuff. I have no education in that whatsoever, really.
People who are way smarter than us work on that.
Yes. Thankfully.
Back when I first joined the Halo community, I did a lot of map testing for Forge Hub. So, in 2009, I had to stop there just due to school, but knowing a lot of the multiplayer level designs and being able to analyze that is also really, really fun for me. Like, what makes Haven so much better than Adrift? Well, it's because these streets are open, there's this amount of cover, it has these things like Orbital, the grav lifts provide open map movement, and Adrift has these really weird walkways up top. Adrift's not a bad map, it just plays differently. I like Adrift. And Haven. I don't like Abandon. Abandon's weird. Did you know there was a yellow grav lift on Abandon?
Yeah.
I never noticed that until the Global Championship started.
There's 3 different grav lifts on Abandon.
There's the middle lift, there's the back lift, and there's a yellow lift, right?
Yeah, there's Magic Tree, yep.
Magic Tree?
That's what the callout is, it's Magic Tree.
Okay. I never knew that until... the Global Championship started, and I started playing free-for-all in it.
Yeah, I knew about it, but almost no one takes it.
Yeah, that's probably... I wonder what other secrets are on the free-for-all maps.
I'm not exactly sure. I know there's... when they were first introduced, I think it was Team Throwdown on Abandon, you could drop down for a sniper and then jump back up on the beach side.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't think it's there anymore. I think they took it out.
I know Naked Eli made a video about how on Adrift you could jetpack up and walk across an invisible ledge, and that got patched really quickly.
Yeah, I think he had a few jump videos for Adrift and a couple other maps. Or, like, some hiding spots. I think he did that for Ravine as well.
Yeah, he did, because I've used his jumps. Thanks, Naked Eli.
Yep. Speaking of which, he's going to be my roommate at PAX. One of my roommates.
Oh, that can only end hilariously.
It ended okay last year, so...
How naked was he?
Not that naked.
Like, moderately naked?
Moderately naked, yes.
Right.
Yes. So as far as what you're here for, you actually ran a Spartan Ops survey for Season 1 that was in Halo 4. As you guys know who have listened to the podcast and probably loyal listeners... Sal and I did our run of our Spartan Ops analysis. We went through all the episodes, one episode at a time, and what ended up kind of being a 2-hour podcast on each one, going through the story, going through different game tips that you could have for playing through Spartan Ops as the full experience. And Mitch here had a podcast called The Ops Cast that was basically a weekly podcast that they did after the episode just came out, so they had a chance to play it. They talked about what they saw and what they felt like throughout all the episodes. And then based on that, they would speculate what would happen next week and have a bunch of different jokes and whatnot. It was pretty funny. So he's actually put out a survey for everyone that trying to get the average or the general consensus on how people thought of Spartan Ops. So
I have to make a note that if you look for the Opscast, you'll only find 8.5 episodes because we got 8.5 episodes out and then university decided, hey, you know what's cool? Getting good grades. I'm going to take all your time. And it's something
I was wondering what happened after 7.5.
Yeah, university. University happened.
So it's the mysterious Opscast that we will never hear.
Yeah, the lost episodes. They will come out eventually. I just don't know if that eventually will be winter break of this year or sometime after finals are over. I don't know.
Okay. What was your host lineup for those that hadn't listened to it before?
Just who was on it?
Yeah.
It was Laird, which I'm sure you've had on here before.
Yeah.
Buckeye Don, Shabobble, and... Oh, man, who else? Grim One was on a couple of them. Buckeye Don and Shabobble are from Rooster Teeth Community. Grim One was on a couple of them. I'm a really bad host. I can't remember.
Well, it's been a while, so it's not that hard to not... Or it's not that much in place to blame you for that. It's been a while. So go ahead and go through your thought process for making the survey and kind of what it covers.
So at the end of Spartan Ops Season 1, I was really interested on what people had to think about what they thought of Spartan Ops as a whole. And the general consensus that I was reading on forums is we like it, it's a good first step, but we felt there could have been other things. So I wanted to find out exactly what people liked about it. So I broke it down into categories of what's your favorite supporting character, who was your favorite main character, which red versus blue Easter egg did you like the best, which episode did you like the best for gameplay, what had the best cutscene, what was the trailer that you liked the best, which was your favorite plot point, who told you to press buttons the best, and what did you think that was the best objective for you to do? And the responses I got were, some were not really surprising, and a lot of them I was a little bit surprised on. For example, perfect segue, people really did not like the first and second episodes of gameplay, which... At the time they came out, I thought they were great because it was new, it was fresh, but by the time that the rest of the season had come out, people had just kind of written it off and forgot about it. As what normally tends to happen with like new stuff coming out weekly and product cycles, but I thought that more people would go for episodes 1 and 2 with their favorite gameplay. Each one only got one vote each. And there was a sample size of... give or take 150.
Yeah, you have a pretty good sample size in this data set. It's actually really cool.
It's give or take because some people thought that I worked directly for 343 and used the survey to express their opinions with Spartan Ops directly at me. While it's great that I have your full thoughts of what you really thought of Spartan Ops, I don't work for 343 yet. If you know someone at 343 that is looking to hire an audiovisual guy, please find me on Twitter at Molten Sloa.
I will make sure to give this podcast a yes.
Oh, she knows.
I'm sure she does.
Actually, no one. I know. I have heard rumblings about the survey at 343 for PAX East. I have never released the details of results.
Until now.
So this is a Podtacular exclusive.
Exclusive!
Exclusive!
Dun dun dun.
Da 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 da.
Moving on.
So, let's just hop right into it.
Go for it.
And a jump. So, favorite main character? Dr. Halsey, 59 people. Thomas Lafke, 37 people. Palmer, 6 people. Spartan Thorne, 35 people. Jewel Mdama, 10 people. Laird, 1 person. Myself, 1 person. Those two are what we call extraneous data. We can throw those out.
I'm a little surprised that Halsey took the rank on that one. I thought Thorne or Lasky would have beat Halsey out. I'm a little surprised on that one, to be honest.
I'm also surprised. Her character was well-written. Jen Taylor did a really good job on voice acting and feeling all of the seething rage and cunnery. Is cunnery a word? It now is. Behind the Halsey
map. I believe it's cunning is what you're looking for.
Cunnery. Cunningery. Behind the Halsey mask. And I would have personally, I didn't put my vote in here because that would be biased, but I honestly would have voted for Lafke just because Lafke went the level head making all the smart decisions. People love Halsey and Thorne and Lasky, and 10 people love Jewel Mdama, which is cool.
That's pretty interesting.
10 people
love the main villain.
It's the main villain. If you have a well-written villain, I mean, look at something like Handsome Jack or GLaDOS. GLaDOS isn't the villain. Everyone loves her.
That is true. That is very true. Although Halsey isn't exactly a villain here. She's a very complex character, and I think that's maybe one of the reasons why so many people really picked her as the favorite.
I think I would kind of classify her as an anti-hero.
Yeah, I think that would be right, yeah.
Not the protagonist, not the antagonist. Not really good or bad. Although a little bit bad toward the end, so I gotta go with anti-hero. People love a good anti-hero.
Yeah, it seems so. Phrase,
but now it is.
Seems so.
So we're just gonna move right on along. Favorite supporting character, Geck, 8. Dr. Boyd, 1. Murphy, 6. Tedra Grant, 2. Madsen, 0.
Paul DeMarco. Aw, poor Madsen.
Paul DeMarco, 7. The Librarian, 13. Dr. Glassman, 10. Hoya, 3. Jared Miller, 9. Robert Delton, 2. And everyone's favorite AI, Roland, taking in a whopping 86 of the votes.
I think that one stands out pretty well.
Yep. People really like Roland. He's snarky. He's funny. He's really the voice of reason when Lasky's not there. He got really funny from 6 through 10 when they were writing in some of his sarcastic quips about why are we always pushing buttons.
Yep. They wrote the dialogue for the second season a lot better than they did for the first half of the season.
Yup, there were a lot of things they did right in the second half. But I'm not here to talk about
Eggheads was one of them.
Yet, unless we want to get into that. You can get into that if you want, but we'll keep that away. Shoo.
Go away!
Go away! Roland taking home a majority of everything. Librarian and Glassman still standing out as supporting characters, even though we only saw them for... Well, Librarian we saw for maybe, what, 2 episodes? If we're counting the cutscenes, and Glassman was kind of the first arc, and then mostly forgotten about.
Well, he still played a significant role, I think.
Yeah. He was...
I mean, he was the one figuring out the whole... The Foreigner artifacts. What was it? In episode 9 or so?
Yeah.
Or episode 8?
Mm-hmm.
One of those two where they were going around activating all the Foreigner artifacts and being able to finally integrate with everything on Requiem. So he still played a somewhat significant part in the whole outline of the story, but you didn't get to see him much after that first kind of encounter in episode 3.
Yeah, I feel like, personally, Glassman's... this is my bias again, that we just promised to get away from, but Glassman didn't develop fast enough, and when he did develop, it was kind of cut short by Requiem blowing up into a sun.
Yeah. About that.
Well, I mean, we'll never go back to Requiem again, because we can't.
No.
What could possibly go wrong?
And we don't exactly have the full map either, because half of it's missing. So how can we find another Requiem-like structure? It's not going to be that easy.
Have I got a greater arc for you?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Let's jump right into that. So favorite plot points. Dr. Glassman's teleportation through the Promethean artifact, 1. Catherine Halsey brought aboard the Infinity, 11. Dr. Glassman activates the librarian, 0. Wah wah. Jewel M'Dama communicates with Halsey via the datapad, 6. Dr. Halsey's undead Iridium override with Roland, 43. Okay, 6. What's up?
Never mind, go ahead.
Okay. Protheans kidnap Dr. Halsey. Prometheans kidnap Dr. Halsey.
I'd say Protheans. What? Wrong franchise.
But it's fun to dream. Spartan Thorns fight with Gek, 11. Dr. Halsey conversation with the librarian, 21. Requiem hurled into a sun, 13. Dr. Halsey's vengeance, 18. And Lasky's decision to save Halsey from Commander Palmer, 22. So, obviously, a lot of really good plot points. Most of them happening in the second half of the season that people really liked, such as the Vengeance and Lasky's whole, we're going to send Majestic after Halsey to rescue her and not to kill her. In some crazy Majestic way, which I'm still trying to figure that out myself, managed to delay Commander Palmer from killing Halsey. I'm going to chuck all of that up to Spartan Thorn.
Yeah, well, we know Spartan Thorn, he's pretty...
Spartan bad arse.
Exactly.
So, obviously, the front row here is Dr. Halsey's undead Iridium override with Roland. Her sneaking that backdoor command, whether it's into all of the AI for the UNSC or just Roland, we don't know.
It's all the Gen 2 AIs, I believe.
All the Gen 2 AIs?
I think so.
Okay. Taking your word for it. Don't let me down.
It's either Gen 2 or Gen 3. I forget which one it is.
Whatever generation Roland in. I'm going to say that Roland is now Generation 2.5. He's like that puberty stage between 2 and 3.
Well, I believe Gen 2 was the ones where they were doing it based off the Human Flash clones brains, and then Gen 3 was actual Gen 2 AIs creating Gen 3 AIs.
It has become self-aware!
Well, yeah.
Yeah. It is an AI.
There's no question about that, really.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
People really like that plot point of the Halsey still got a few tricks up her sleeve. Nobody liked Dr. Glassman activating the librarian. I liked it. I really did. Especially, like, the whole...
It wasn't that significant to me, though.
Holy shit, I did something. Or, holy crap, I did something.
But it wasn't really done in a way that really popped. To me. I mean, yeah, it was something that's like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. But it wasn't something that really stuck out to me as a pivotal point within Spartan Ops.
I think it could have been handled a lot better, but I still think it was cool for what happened. And especially what happened afterward with him realizing that, I'm free! And running away while everyone's standing, oh!
I would have personally chosen probably the Dr. Halsey's conversation with the librarian or the undead Iridium thing. So, that's just me.
What about any love for Dr. Glassman getting teleported through the Promethean artifact?
It's not as significant to me as some of the Dr. Halsey moments.
Right.
I mean, yeah, it's important, but it's not as prominent to me, personally.
Just looking over here and making sure. Same thing for Prometheans kidnapping, storming Infinity and kidnapping Dr. Halsey. Needed to move the plot along, but not super, super important.
That was pretty interesting. But, again, I think there's the fact that Halsey basically overrode Roland and set a whole chain of events in motion. Right, so under the noses of the UNSC.
People are looking more toward that as the catalyst and then leading into the Promethean kidnapping Dr. Halsey?
Yeah.
Okay. Totally understandable. Really cool. Okay, we've done that. We're cruising. Let's get into gameplay.
Okay.
What, Duststorm, what episode did you like the best for gameplay?
Ooh.
If you remember.
That's a hard one, really. Definitely one of the ones in the second half of the season.
1.5?
Yeah, 1.5. I'm not exactly sure, really. It would be probably a tie or very close kind of comparison between episodes 7, 8, and 9, really. There's just a lot within that second half of the season that just really brought Spartan Ops to life after what kind of happened with the first half.
Buttons, 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 eggheads.
It was more the eggheads for me than the buttons, because you can't really create a interactive experience without pushing buttons, really. And that's just kind of one of the core mechanics that you have the ability to use in Halo.
True. So, gameplay, episode 1, 1. Episode 2, 1. Episode 3, you know what, I'll do title, too, since people not entirely remember. Episode 1, Departure, 1. Episode 2, Artifact, 1. Episode 3, Catherine, 9. Episode 4, Didac's Hand, 4. Episode 5, Memento Mori, 5. Episode 6, Scattered, 22. Episode 7, Invasion, 49. Episode 8, Expendable, 11. Episode 9, Key, 9. Episode 10, Exodus, 10.
So I'm not surprised really that much at all that Episode 7, Invasion, took the prize on that one, because a lot of people really liked fighting on Infinity and having that kind of unique experience throughout the entire episode.
I'm not surprised either. What's really cool to me, just from seeing all this back, all the behind-the-curtain stuff, is Episode 9 and 10 have the same number of votes in their episode title. Episode 7 and 1.
And 4 and 5.
And 4 and 5. Episode 7, which is historically a Bungie number, has 49 votes, which is 7 times 7.
Conspiracy!
And it's also Invasion, which was a Bungie game type in Halo Reach.
Conspiracy!
I'll go get the tinfoil hat. Pardon me, I'll be over here. Shuffle, 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 shuffle. But yeah, I loved Invasion so much more than... It felt like that was the episode that a lot of things that we're building up to had finally fallen into place, and we got to play through them, and it was amazing. And I'm fangirling over here.
I think it's just one of those game... or the game-defining moments for Spartan Ops, really. That it was that unique environment that people were able to play in. It was a change from having to play on Requiem. Yeah, a different environment. And a lot of the objectives on there, even though you're kind of going back and forth, it kind of made sense in order that you were defending the ship from coming to invasion.
Yeah. It had a lot of the Pillar of Autumn feel of Halo 1 to me. I really, really liked that.
It did.
Also, it fits really neatly into the whole storyline of Spartan Ops, where episodes 7 and 8 are kind of like the climax of Spartan Ops, and you're fighting through the climax, especially in the hangar with the waves of enemies are coming, but they're coming from inside the ship and under the ship and all around the ship.
Yeah. I still think the climax was still at the end, but I guess it's more like a micro climax.
A mini climax? A mini max?
A mini max.
Mini max. Mini minotaur, 20 minotaur.
No. No Toby. Yeah. No Toby.
Yeah.
It's not for now.
Soon. 15 days, 14 days.
Oh, gosh. Beware.
Beware. Yeah, if you're around us at PAX and you hear us start singing Tobuscus, that's normal. Just go with it. You're welcome to join in. Come join us.
Yeah.
Also, if you're around me at PAX and I start a dance party, just join in. It's gonna happen.
Yay, dance party.
Dance party. Joke date. And destiny.
Oh my goodness. All right. What's the next one we got down here?
Gameplay check. Let's go into... Who told you to press buttons the best?
Ooh. This one's gonna be good, I bet.
I bet you can already guess who's going to win.
Yep.
So, Commander Palmer, 20. Dalton, 6. Murphy, 4. Librarian, 10. Miller, 12. Nunn, 2. Not picking the least of any of these evils, 1. And rounding us out at 91, Duststorm, can you take us home?
That would be Roland.
That would be Roland. People will... If you have to press buttons, it helps that there's a snarky AI telling you to do so.
To go press the buttons.
Push that button.
And again, in episode 7, that's where he made all the witty comments about going and pressing a button.
Yep.
Now listen carefully. You have... It involves pressing a button.
Can you do this? Why are we pushing buttons to activate nukes and then deactivate nukes inside of the ship when they can use the nukes against us? I don't know, just keep pushing the button.
Well, people don't really like the QuickTime event stuff, so pressing buttons is really the only other method that you have of interaction with any of the environment or anything that is kind of driven based on like the story that you want to portray and how things progress through the mission. So
that's where you're wrong, sir. Actually, you're probably right from a design perspective, but that's where you're wrong, sir. The best favorite objective, buttons, 15. Waypoints, go stand over here, 19. Blowing up those conduit spears on... Oh, God, I want to say Meltdown, but I know that's not right. What's the Dominion map? Oh, God.
There's a... You mean Vortex?
Yes. Blowing up the conduit spears on Vortex using giant plasma batteries, 14. King of the Hill scanning on Vortex, 26. A mixture of all 2, eliminating enemies 1, and the method that people really like for objectives, which is plain blowing stuff up, with the whopping 66.
Yeah, we like to do that. We like to blow stuff up.
Yeah, it's hard because it's a first-person shooter. The tendency is to keep going forward and keep blowing stuff up. When you're told to go, you have to interrupt gameplay and hit buttons. People don't like that. The waypoints are nice because it's you have to go stand over here. The King of the Hill standing thing, I call it standing because Roland would yell at you if you had to move around a lot. Another good objective by Roland. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. I'm surprised 26 people really like that.
Yeah. For the one time that it showed up, I didn't...
Well, actually, it was kind of twice. There was one time on Vortex, and then... There was kind of the same thing on that one map where you're activating all the Forerunner tech. You had to stand there and...
Oh, right at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for 66 people who didn't like slowing down gameplay, there were 26 people who didn't mind standing still for a few minutes and having someone else do all the work. One of the things that I think about the buttons and why everyone hates them is that they're mapped to X instead of right bumper. This is just my personal bias, but having to take your... Unless you're on a different control scheme, I play on default. Sorry, everyone. Having to take your thumb off of the...
Right stick.
Thank you. I'm going to call it a joystick. But it's not a joystick. It brings no joy. It's only right stick. it brings very much right. It makes things right. Having to take your thumb off of the right stick to hit X, and then if you're like just a little bit off the button, it doesn't hit it. So you have to like put your thumb on the button or your hand if you're using a Nintendo 64 controller, and then hit X again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's annoying. It's one of the main things that I did not like about Spartan Ops is that the hitbox for buttons, I felt, was not big enough. Especially coupled with the increased movement speed.
I don't think that's just Spartan Ops, though. There's certain times in matchmaking where I try to go over a weapon like that, and there's...
It's too small, and we're too big. Yeah. How much bigger are Spartan 4s than Spartan 3s?
I didn't think they were that much bigger, actually.
How much fatter are Spartan 4s than Spartan 3s?
I don't know. Because I know Spartan 4s... They take active military people, where the Spartan 2s and the Spartan 3s, they took kids and did the whole genetic mutations and whatnot.
Right.
And then Gen 4 was basically...
Anyone.
Anyone who...
Not enough training.
Yeah, pretty much.
But hitboxes. Yep. It's all about the hitboxes. Just go look at Divekick. It's all about the hitboxes.
All right, what's our next stat?
Our next stat is the red versus blue Easter eggs.
This will be interesting.
What did you think of the red versus blue Easter eggs as a whole? Did you like them?
I thought they were pretty funny.
I greatly enjoyed them. It was nice to see Rooster Teeth in a Halo game again after their absence from campaign.
Although it gave a certain sense of just comedic calm and peacefulness to it because it's most of the time when you're playing Spartan Ops, you're kind of in the mood, really trying to grind through enemies and whatnot. And these little RVB Easter eggs were just a nice little poke of fun without directly affecting the gameplay to it. So, yeah.
Especially, for instance, in episode 2 when that audio log plays and Caboose is suddenly on fire. Or Griffball gravity hammers drop in episode 5 from a pelican instead of Spartan lasers.
Yeah.
It's a very nice, lighthearted touch to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, episode 1, Caboose's Bathroom Bake. Caboose's Bathroom Bake and Wake. No. Caboose's Bathroom Break. Episode 2, The Armor, It Does Nothing. 17. Episode 3, Surprise, Giant Robots. 32. Episode 4, 555, V-I-C-K.
Oh, 11. Bernie.
Episode 5, Sports Equipment Carball. 20. Episode 6, Griff's Baba Booey. 11. Episode 7, Simmons Engine Problems. 5. Episode 8, Headlight Fluid and Elbow Grease. 9. Episode 9, Church and the Elite. 16. Episode 10, Project Freelancer's Agent Georgia. 6. I should make a note that these were all just names that I kind of grabbed to summarize.
Right.
They are not official names. If anyone would like to use them as an official name, please go right ahead. You might want to find out if Baba Booey is trademarked by Conan, though.
Hmm.
Actually, can we broadcast this? Did I just shut down Podtacular?
No, I don't think you did.
So yeah, people like the giant robots. Not many people liked Agent Georgia, which has a longtime Red vs. Blue fan to the point of being on a Red vs. Blue plot cast.
Well, I'm wondering if it's just people don't really know about him that much.
Yeah, that could be.
I have a feeling it's probably more that than people necessarily hating him or something like that. It's probably just more uneducation.
Yeah. It was a very nice call to people who, like me, who did know it. All seven of us.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty... It's interesting. So, the Surprise Giant Robots, episode 3. I guess that was a lot of favorites for people, is having those mantises come in.
Those were certainly the high point of season...
Of the first half of the season.
Yeah, that first half, because...
Yeah.
The episode itself made you feel like a Spartan in a giant robot crushing giant banshees and giant phantoms.
Explosions!
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 But that whole Simmons of build-up and not gonna tell you what it is, but it's pretty awesome, and Griff just cuts off, dude, it's giant robots. Oh, what? Come on!
You ruined the surprise!
That camaraderie is just... It's perfect.
Oh, those two.
Oh, you.
Oh, you guys.
20 Griffballers must have taken the survey for the sports equipment car. That's what I'm putting my judgment at.
Quite possibly. You never know.
11 Conan fans for Baba Booey. That is Conan, right? I'm not just making pop culture references and things that are incorrect.
I'm not exactly sure, to be honest. I'd have to go back and listen to the cutscene.
Look that up. The bathroom break people liked of Caboose popping in when the pilot, because at the beginning it was three separate times that he shows up, two separate times. It's one of those. Oh, you think that this is only the first part of this Easter egg, and the other, like the plot and main pilot dude, will be right back. Nope, still Caboose.
Hmm. But for some reason, I don't remember exactly what you're talking about.
Over in episode 1, if you turn on the Easter egg and you called for Ebeck instead of Dalton, Caboose would answer the phone.
Right.
And then he would say, oh, the other guy went to the bathroom, he'll be right back. So you...
Oh, yeah.
You keep killing things and you call for Ebeck again, and Caboose just says, oh, he's still in the bathroom. just please hold.
Oh, Caboose.
My horrible Caboose impression. I'm so sorry, Joel. So sorry. People did
it's
not right. Like...
It's Caboose.
Yeah, I did. As long as I sound like this, everything's gonna be okay. Freckles, fetch.
Target acquired.
People not a big fan of Simmons engine troubles and the headlight fluid and elbow grease, which I love the headlight fluid and elbow grease.
They're iconic of Rooster Teeth at this point, really.
Yep.
And Red vs. Blue, for that matter.
Yep. But hey, people like giant robots. I'm not gonna.
Giant robots.
Yep, Duffstorm likes giant robots.
Giant robots.
Duffstorm, did you see Pacific Rim?
No, actually, I didn't get a chance to see. I wanted to, but the time just didn't permit for me to go watch it.
Duffstorm, if you like giant robots, you should really go see Pacific Rim.
Should I?
Yes, okay. You absolutely should. Let's go see it in Seattle.
Maybe on the Tuesday.
We might be able to actually do this. Yeah, after Teardown.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Next one.
I did gameplay cutscene. Favorite cutscene. These were the hit Y to view episode in the menu of Spartan Ops, or they were available online. I know I used HBO as my main place for grabbing cutscenes, just because they had a very nice archive of 5.1 surround sound, 720p the day that it went up.
Okay.
Thank you, Cody Miller. Episode 1, Departure, 15. Episode 2, Artifact, 1. Episode 3, Catherine, 4. Episode 4, Didac's Hand, 2. Episode 5, Memento Mori, 2. Episode 6, Scattered, 6. Episode 7, Invasion, 42. Episode 8, Expendable, 14. Episode 9, Key, 17. Episode 10, Exodus, 7. And the Season 1 Epilogue and Credits, 41. And all of the cutscenes were done by Axis Animation. And it was all CGI. And Axis Animation did a beautiful job on the second half of the season. The first half was...
Those cutscenes were pretty amazing.
From a technical and like graphical perspective, also amazing. But when all the real plot happened, people remember those cutscenes. And people really remembered the invasion and really remembered the end of Spartan Ops. With the whole Requiem's into his son and Halsey doesn't have an arm.
Yeah.
And her whole figure of when she's holding her arm and it's just that kind of stump is really, really, really cool to me from a mocap perspective. Just because of what they had to do to get that shot.
Hmm.
Like, hey, we need you to put your arm inside of your shirt and, like, duct tape this stump to your shoulder. At least that's in my mind what it is. If anyone from Axis Animation actually knows what they had to do for that mocap, don't tell me. I just want to keep it like this. Let me have my duct tape stump.
All right. Yeah, it does make sense that favorite cutscene would be Invasion. I mean, we saw that one from the previous gameplay, best gameplay was also from
people really, really like Invasion. That's when that's when the Prometheans invaded. That's when the undead Iridium happened. That's when a lot of things really happened.
Yeah.
It's the most memorable one. And it's beautiful from a graphical and design standpoint. Excuse me.
Okay. And
the epilogue good. People didn't really like Artifact. I didn't have a problem with Artifact. One person liked Artifact the best.
Hmm. Well, like you said earlier, the first two episodes, even though they were kind of trying to get people into the whole idea of Spartan Ops, it still felt kind of lackluster compared to the rest of the levels and the game types and everything that we got.
Yeah, it was...
So it's no surprise that those are kind of on the back burner in terms of favorite cutscenes, most played, and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. One was 15, and then it drops off right after that, so people were really excited at this. What I'm gathering is people were really excited at the start of Spartan Ops and loved the first cutscene and all the stuff that it was going to have, and then when it found out what Spartan Ops was not actually in CGI at 60 frames per second with beautiful Axis animation and actually in the Halo 4 engine, didn't really like the other cutscenes. That is my inference. I'm probably completely wrong.
Okay.
Take everything I say with a bag of salt. And, like, actually, take everything I've ever said with a bag of salt.
You don't have a bag of salt. Not just a grain, a bag.
Yeah, a whole bag. 5 pounds.
Oh,
minimum
boy.
5 pounds.
Yeek.
And finally, let me just make sure that... Check, 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 checkity, check, check, check. Finally, last but not least, we have the trailers. These were the little...
Like 30-second teases?
Like 30-second, 1-minute trailers that came out on Halo Waypoint and their YouTube channel for the following week.
Okay.
So, season 1 trailer overall. Just the... I believe it was only the first 5 episodes. I'm not sure if it showed anything from the 6 through 10 offhand. Season 1 trailer, 29. Episode 2, Artifact. Episode 3, Catherine. 4. Episode 2... wait. Hold on.
4, Didact's Hand.
4, Didact's Hand, 1. Episode 2, Artifact was 1. I think I skipped over that. Episode 5, Memento Mori, 2. The episode 6 through 10 trailer, because they showed that off through their mid-season break when they were doing the Virgin Gaming Champion Tourney, 48. Episode 7, Invasion, 26. Episode 8, Expendable, 2. Episode 9, Key, 21. Episode 10, Exodus, 17. People really, really liked the 6 through 10 trailer.
Well, I think it was because it was just the change of pace from what they were used to in the first half of the season, and now seeing the second half and knowing that it was going to come out, and now they're actually seeing the fruits of the labor that they've paid for. It doesn't surprise me that that one takes a lot of the cake here.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, because the lull that we had, like, episode 5 ends, you're on a cliff, you're totally surrendered. Episode 6 through 10 shows up, and it shows Majestic and Palmer shooting her pistols. I almost said something bad, sorry. Shooting her pistols. And, like, stuff actually happening in the plot that is relevant to canon of Halo 4. People really liked it. It was a very nice, tasty treat before episode 6 came out. And then 7, and 8, and 9, and 10. And then it was over. So fast. People really did like the trailer for Invasion, though. But
the trailer or the opening cinematic?
The trailer. So this would be the episode 6 came out, and on Friday they put up the episode 7 trailer, showing the invasion of the Infinity.
Hmm.
That grabbed 26 votes. And the season 1 trailer, again, 29 votes. To kind of equal, kind of, not really pacing equivalent, but definitely showing off what Spartan Ops, well, one, what Spartan Ops would be on the first part of season 1, and then for Invasion, showing you that stuff has gone down, get your butt back to Infinity.
And yeah, we are being boarded.
We are being boarded. Please save us.
Watch out!
Oh no!
No!
The only thing I didn't like about the trailer, just from a personal perspective, is that it never showed any of the gameplay. I get it, it's supposed to build hype about the upcoming episode, but just, and this is me for every hype thing ever, please, please show me gameplay. Please don't. I know CGI cutscenes are cool, but trailers and teasers, gameplay, please tell me what I'm actually going to be doing.
Right.
But hey, that's just me.
I think that's just a long way for consoles to come, really.
Yeah, well, let me... Are you talking just about putting in that level of graphics?
No, or... I mean, like, supporting the whole thing around.
Yeah. There was kind of a disconnect. And this is, again, my bias about... There was a disconnect in the first half of Season 1 where it felt like what you were doing in the gameplay episodes had no correlation to what was happening in the cutscenes. Aside from the Promethean lunchbox that you brought aboard the Infinity, but like the racing, quote-unquote racing, with Majestic to shut down the teleport stations and going through portals, it was disconnected. And then in 6 through 10, it got a lot better.
Yeah. I can agree with that. So, but again, these are all really interesting stats. We will, for those that are listening, we will have the results of this on our website with accompanying this episode. So you can definitely see the results there. It's really interesting stuff. You actually got a pretty decent sample size. How long did you run the survey for?
This ran for, I can actually tell you directly. I want to say I ran it for two months.
That's not bad.
This opened, that is a not live form. This opened on 227, and I closed it off on 312. So it ran for just a little bit under a month. And it was on the front page of HBO, and I would not shut up about it on Twitter. As I often don't. And I think you retweeted it, and Nevin retweeted it, and Rukari and Grimbrother One and other fun people. I don't think it ever got retweeted. No, it did not get ever retweeted by the official Halo Waypoint account or BS Angel. I'm sure there are a ton of legal reasons about them telling people to go do this for a fan-run survey for their intellectual property.
Yeah.
If it keeps me out of the red tape, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't have the legal team to deal with that. I don't even have the legal knowledge to deal with that. But yeah.
You probably don't really want to either.
No, I'd rather just sit in my corner, continuing to abide by the game content usage rules, making fun little Halo thing that few hundred people see, and then moving on to the next.
Yeah.
Cool with that. Hey, when I first started the Opscast back in January, no, when did Spartan Ops come out? Like, when I first started the Opscast, back when episode 1 of Spartan Ops came out, I was hoping for 10 listeners a week, and we blew past that in the first week and kind of just went on growing, so I'm immensely happy with how it did turn out, even if I had to cut it early.
Very nice.
Low standards, everyone. That's how you succeed. That's not how you succeed at all. Don't listen to me.
Interesting.
And that is the Spartan Ops Season 1 survey results. Originally, it was going to be an award show, but hey, university, school happens. Good grades are important. Kids, stay in school if you're listening to this. If you're not listening to this from school, don't listen to it in school. Or do, if you're doing like work and you can focus on two things at once. I know some people can do that.
Interesting.
If Spartan Ops Season 2 happens, I will gladly bring this back, hopefully with a bigger sample size. If Spartan Ops Season 2 doesn't happen, hey, it was a fun ride. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed seeing what other people thought of it. I should really give this data to Gucheka and have her use her psychology-ness to pour over it.
That would be interesting. That would really be interesting.
Yeah, that's... I'm gonna do that right after this podcast.
Yay. is that all the survey questions that you had?
That's all I've got. All
right. So, well, it's good stuff, guys.
Big thank you to everyone who participated and helped make it a success. Thank you.
Awesome. So definitely check the stuff out. It will be on our website. And I'm sure, Mitch, you'll probably have posted up somewhere and we'll repost it as well.
I'm thinking HBO, because that was the most influential place. I'll put it on my personal Tumblr so that way people who would like it to see it and use the Tumblr or... the Tumblr, the Twitter, I don't know. You know, if you follow me on Twitter at Molten Sloa, you will find it. If you follow me on Tumblr at Molten Sloa, you will find it. If you look for Spartan Ops Season 1 survey, you'll probably find it.
If you look on Podtacular, you'll find it?
If you look on Podtacular, you'll definitely find it. It's a Podtacular exclusive before even I put it up on my personal accounts.
Awesome. So, and we'll probably have a separate post about all the stuff as well. So, but yeah, thanks again, Mitch, for sharing that. It's really cool to see some of the stuff that's come out from it, what people think. A little surprised by a couple of the results, but most of them I pretty much could have told you were probably right on.
Yep.
So really, really interesting stuff. So now for the actual update part. The bulletin is out.
What?
It is out and about. Of course, we have the wrapping up of the Halo 4 Global Championship, and that, of course, is coming to you at PAX. The finals are there, and we have lots of people attending from the online qualifiers, from the RTX, and what will be Gamescom this week, this weekend, the qualifiers from there as well. So if you have the chance to play at Gamescom, it's in Germany, so it's going to be a lot more European players, but if you have the chance to play, definitely go over and try to compete for your chance to be paid all expense trip to PAX for Seattle. The finals.
Yeah, Seattle. Yep,
Seattle.
Can we talk about that thing that you and the other guys got? Is that public knowledge?
Yeah, we will. It's in the bulletin, so we'll talk about it here in a minute. But
I'm still reading the bulletin.
Yeah, so this literally just came out while we were recording, guys. So we're short noticed here, but most of the stuff we already knew from this bulletin. This just kind of some summary updates for what's going on in the Halo 4 Global Championship, what's going on with the championship bundle, and some of the stuff that is also going on with playlists and other things. So first on the list, of course, we have the Champions bundle coming out next week. It actually drops next Tuesday.
Oh, God, that's next Tuesday?
It is next Tuesday.
Oh, no! Don't make me choose between Saints Row and Halo 4.
So I actually did say we were going to try to do a Monday Night Matchmaking next week. We will not be doing it because it actually comes out on Tuesday instead of Monday. So I got my dates mixed up. So unfortunately, we'll not be doing a Monday Night Matchmaking. Then we may do one the week after. But because of the Champions bundle being dropped, the Crimson DLC playlist is actually going to be taken down in preparation for the Champions bundle.
No.
Yeah, and I still need one achievement in Crimson. I need the oh my gosh, that's loud.
Tweet deck. So. Yep.
I need to get the one achievement for getting the Mantis Stomps.
Would you like to go play some Halo 4 after this and see if we can grab you that?
I don't know about tonight. Maybe over the weekend.
Alright. When do they take it down?
So it'll be Monday when they take it down.
Okay. So the matchmaking update is on Monday and the DLC update is Tuesday.
Correct.
What is Wednesday?
Wednesday is just life as normal, hopefully. It's Wacky Wednesday for us.
Wacky Wednesday!
Wacky Wednesday! Hey! So, we actually have a couple things dropping on Monday because of the Champions bundle being released on Tuesday, and that is two complimentary support upgrades that you'll be able to use in your loadouts, and that is Recharge and Survivor. Now, we talked about these two before. They are two among three that will be released. Of course, if you get the Champions bundle, you will get the third one included in that for you to use exclusively.
Remind me again, what's the third one?
It's escaping my mind at the moment. I'd have to look it up.
It's probably on this page.
So
not on this page.
No, I'll look it up here in a second.
Alright.
So Recharge, of course, is a little bit of a spinoff of another armor or support upgrade that's out there. So the one that's currently out there, I forget what it's called, but that one, it actually decreases the time over which your shield recharges, and then, but this one, the recharge, I'm sorry, the one that's currently out there reduces the amount of time where your shields start to recharge, but this one, recharge, actually decreases the amount of time that recharge happens.
So, the other one's called shielding.
Shielding, okay, that's what was it. Yeah, so the recharge is basically the other half of your shield charging equation, so to speak.
It's two separate timers. It's how long does it take between my health blinking and the shields going up, and how long does it take between the shields to go from 0 to 100?
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
I want to say, just from muscle memory, that it's from health to shield, it's 8 seconds, and then from 0 to full, it's 3 seconds? That sound right?
Maybe. I actually don't know the numbers behind that. I haven't research that specifically. I'm sure someone out there knows the numbers, but
Halopedia, we salute you.
Yeah, probably. So that is the first one that's out there as complimentary. The second one, of course, is Survivor, and that one lets you be ejected out of a vehicle before it's about to explode. Now, not exactly sure how that one's going to work. We don't know if there's like a certain damage percentage that the vehicle needs to have and then you automatically get ejected, or if before the vehicle does explode you get ejected from the vehicle and then explodes immediately afterwards, or if there's some other magic in there that makes it all work somehow perfectly. Don't know.
There's a lot of situations where I could see it cheating people out of kills.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of really funny situations where a Warthog's at 90% and then you tick over to that 91% right as it's about to, like, turn away from a cliff, and the survivor just kind of goes out and up out of the vehicle, and the gunner just, you know, falls gracefully off a cliff.
That would be interesting.
That's a fails of the week in progress.
Yeah, that definitely is. So there's a lot of different things in here that, for the survivor mod specifically, that we don't know the technical details behind it.
Explode is a really vague term.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get my hands on it and test it and see exactly what the criteria is.
Right. And it's like if you're
that criteria.
Well, it's like if you're taking a laser to a hog, you would expect everyone to die pretty much instantaneously.
Right. Or, for instance, plasma pistol and two sticky grenades. Normally a very nice double kill on a hog. Or triple kill if you're
lucky. Even sticky grenades, even if you get two on there, it doesn't always destroy a hog.
If you hit it in the wheel, it does. True facts. On a carriage is weak.
Yeah, but still, typically, you're not going to be able to hit the undercarrier every single time.
Psh, maybe you can. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, well now.
Oh, well, challenge accepted. Ho, ho, ho.
Ho, ho, ho. Oh, gosh.
That's what pulse grenades are for. People get so mad when you use pulse grenades on them, especially if they're in a mantis. I'm still trying to recreate that one thing that they showed at the Halo 4 panel for PAX East, where you would hijack a mantis and pulse grenade it, and then the mantis explodes, but the Spartan stays spinning around in midair. I'm still trying to recreate it in matchmaking.
Yeah, I bet a lot of people are, to be honest.
It'll happen.
We'll see in time.
But, support upgrade, free armor mods, right?
Yep, That's pretty much. All right. Moving along, we also have a couple of updates that the Halo 4 Global Championship, some of the stuff that's coming from that going into Rumble Pit. So, of course, we've had a lot of FFA game types going through the Halo 4 Global Championship playlist. And of those game types, these are the ones that are going to be making it into Rumble Pit in the next matchmaking update. So it's going to be Haven Oddball, Skyline Rumble BRs, Simplex Rumble BRs, Abandoned King of the Hill, and Landfall King of the Hill. So that's all going to be new game types that are going to be in the rotation for Rumble Pit. So that's pretty cool.
Awesome. As a big free-for-all player and player of Rumble Pit, I'm all for this. However, as a king of the everything that's not the hill, and basically king of the assassination, I'm also all for this, especially in free-for-all. Gotta get that rear admiral.
Yeah. So if I read the bulletin a little bit more carefully, or if we had time to actually read it before the podcast, the other armor mod is actually a tactical package in its resistor, and which allows players to retain a full sprint.
No suppression when getting shot.
Correct.
Okay.
I have a little bit of an issue with that one.
I have a lot of bit of an issue with that one.
Because one of the things that a lot of people really hate about the sprint is the fact that people can run away from fights. And I think the way they kind of currently have it built out, where if you take fire, you get slowed down, kind of works. I understand the whole sprint mechanic. And
it's a nice balance.
I would personally say if you still had shields and you were getting shot, you wouldn't get slowed down. Because it's the shields that are taking the impact of whatever round you're getting hit with.
Right.
And it should only be if you lose shields and you're getting shot in the body where you should be slowing down, I think, personally.
They're also not telling us in text form how much you get slowed down. It could be, or how much resistant that you'll have to being slowed down. So you could move at, like, say you're moving at 100% speed and you get a shot and you go down to 10. Well, with this armor mod, do you go down to 50?
It says retain full mobility.
Okay, so
just by taking fire for a few short moments.
Everything that I just said, it'll be interesting to see how they tweak it and keep it at full speed. Because people sprinting around the map and not being able to be killed with... Oh, God. You said this was a tactical mod?
Yeah.
So you can't turn on you can't turn on mobility with it, which is good. But you can turn on recharge, which is...
Yeah.
Interesting. Something with active camo and resistor and recharge. Building a loadout in my head just for free-for-all assassinations.
Wow.
Hey, some animator or animators put time into their job for those animations, and they are brutal animations.
This is true. This is very true.
But yeah, new game types coming into Rumble Pit. Always good to see more into Rumble Pit, especially with the Rumble BRs. Those were very fun to play.
Yeah, I think once they announced the Legendary BRs last week for this week's Halo 4 Global Online Qualifier, there are a lot of people that are really happy.
How are you doing in the qualifier?
So, I played the first week, didn't play my 20 games. I haven't played in any of the weeks since. Just haven't had the time.
Yeah, 20 games takes a lot more time than I thought.
Yeah, it definitely does. And to be able to play as well as some of these people are playing out there, and unfortunately, despite all the cheating, it's really not worth the time and effort.
It's fun to play FFA.
It's fun, but
not get mad at free-for-all, which is very, very easy to do when you're in a party size of one and not with friends.
Well, and the atmosphere in there is already, you're competing in order to get this first place prize, so it's almost like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yep. Eh, hey. All right. I did the qualifier for the first week, and I have played the other weeks a couple of games at a friend's house. And we were playing co-op, and we're like, oh, you're going to go make lunch, or you're going to go call for pizza. I'm going to go play a game of Global Championship.
Right. Yeah.
I miss Rumble Pit. Luckily, it'll come back next week.
Yep, it'll come back. So on a similar note of what we talked about a little bit earlier in the podcast, Spartan Ops matchmaking for this week is Forerunner-based.
Woo!
So we have Episode 1, Chapter 3, The Challenge, Episode 1, Chapter 4, Sacred, Episode 2, Chapter 5, Gagarin.
Gagarin.
Episode 5, Chapter 1, Spartan Miller. And Episode 5, Chapter 2, Nothing Can Go Wrong.
Might be my favorite episode title out of all of them.
Nothing Can Go Wrong?
Nothing Can Go Wrong. What could possibly go wrong?
Everything. Just everything. Saying.
And,
just saying.
And then followed immediately by Everything Has Gone Wrong.
Wow. As far as the next things on the list, championship bundle information, they said that they've gotten some questions about some of the content on here, but of course they will be probably releasing every detail in full coming next Tuesday, and there, if you go back a couple of bulletins, they did release some specific information about, some of the, the bundle stuff in there as well.
What each piece of paying and the bundle gets you.
And there's basically three different parts that you can get. There's the weapon skin pack, there's the armor pack, and then there's the actual Bullseye bundle, which is the maps and the game type.
The Everything Ricochet. Pack.
Well, the bundle is the Everything Pack, but the Bullseye pack is the maps and the game type.
Ricochet. And also, just for anyone who doesn't know, normally DLC comes out at about, 3 a.m. Pacific time on the day of, determined when it's pushed to the public service.
Sounds about right.
That's
I'm not exactly sure.
That's when most DLC comes out.
Okay.
So.
But the playlist for the Champions Bundle that's going to be out next week, it's going to have the following game type map combinations. It's going to have Pitfall Infinity Slayer, Pitfall Slayer Pro, Pitfall Ricochet, Pitfall Capture the Flag, Vertigo Infinity Slayer, Vertigo Slayer Pro, Vertigo Extraction, and Vertigo King of the Hill.
I cannot wait to play a two-flag CTF on the pit. It's been so long since a two-flag CTF on the pit. And the MLG boxes are there as a default part of the map.
I understand where the pit really comes into play in the competitive scene. And I understand the appeal to it where it's a symmetrical map and it flows really well and having the strategy built out for it. I can appreciate that. But I was never good at the pit. I was never that good at the pit.
The pit was all about controlling right and left swans and where you were pushing on.
There's a lot to keep track of in the pit.
There is so much to keep track of. There's overshield, camo, rocket, sword, and then shotgun rooms, and then you had the upstairs rooms, which have been removed from pitfall, so those are no longer a worry. Drop spawning has changed how weapon timers are, And I don't see an Orbis Shield or Camo, unfortunately. So there's this version's a lot less hectic, but I really can't wait for it.
Yeah.
But mainly on the pit, what you had to worry about just from so much time that I played on it was if you're on the back wall with the Covenant target, then they're going to spawn right on the lift. And if you're on the lift, they're going to spawn on the back wall, or they're going to spawn in the attic up top, or they're going, or if you push too hard, you're going to force them to spawn across the map. But this is Halo 3 spawning, so I don't actually know how Halo 4 spawning is going to
work. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that dynamics changes. And...
but if you go play Halo 3 after listening to that last section, I'm totally right. Halo 3 night.
I'm sure you have the experience for it. I'm sure you do.
So many hours. Yeah. So many well-spent hours.
So, this is interesting for the Halo 4 Global Championship that I don't remember seeing anywhere, but maybe it was in the rules and I missed it when I looked through it briefly. But apparently, for every week that you play 20 games in the Global Championship playlist, you actually get 20 games worth of double XP tokens.
What?
Yeah.
What? When did that come out?
It's in the bulletin today, so I don't remember even seeing that in the tournament rules or anything.
I don't remember seeing that ever. But, okay, I guess I'll go play 20 games of Legendary BRs?
Maybe.
What I'm thinking is that maybe with all the rampant cheating and competitiveness, they need a poll to get people back to the Global Championship playlist, because when I've logged on, those numbers have been in the hundreds compared to something like Infinity Slayer or Big Team Infinity Slayer, which is normally tens of thousands.
Yeah.
So if it's a poll, I hope it works for them. I know it's going to work for me. Oh, wait, no, I'm 130. Well, you know what? Screw it. I like Free For All.
Don't let them manipulate you. Remember, you don't work for 343 yet.
Oh, no.
Don't do it. It's a test. It's a test.
The 343 Kool-Aid. Tastes like Didact.
Oh, goodness. All right, so as far as the standings for week 5, we have the top 10 players. Of course, we've been reading these off, so this will be the last read, Arf. Oh, yeah, sure.
In first place, we have Mick Winning, which I can only understand to be Hidden Machine, with a score of 8 and 65 games played.
Well, they're all score 8, so just say games played.
Games played of 65. In second place, Steam Daisy 761, 62 games played. Third place, Confused Bread 66, 58 games played. Fourth place, 50, I'm reading backwards, sorry. Fourth place, APG Isus, a Pegasus, APG Jesus?
APGesus, I think.
APGesus.
Supposed to be APG and I guess Jesus there.
It's like
my best guess.
It's like the random number generator where you have RNGesus. 53 games played.
Yep.
In fifth place, Mashiro Shina. Mashiro Shina, 40 games played. Sixth place, Federal Fool 4282, 38 games played. Seventh place, X, capital X, lowercase x, ITZ SN1P3R, 35 games played. I think it's supposed to be XXX, it's Sniper, but
yeah.
I'm a fake geek guy and can't read lead, so I'm going to go with what I said originally.
Okay.
Number 8, we have Crazy with only 4 Ys. They're very exaggerated Ys with 34 games played. Number 9, we have Mitchit Star. That's MTCHSTRR. He doesn't like vowels, apparently. With 33 games played.
That's too bad.
And in 10th place for the leaderboard, we have N, the number 0, Mercy Yee, with another Y on the end.
Actually, I think that is the letter 0.
The letter 0?
Yeah, it's no mercy.
Is 0 a letter?
No, 0 is a number. That's what I'm saying. I think it's the letter.
And this is the Week 5 Global Championship leaderboard from 4:45 p.m. PDT today.
5:45.
5:45 p.m. PDT today. What did I say?
You said four.
It's only off by an hour. A lot of things can change in an hour. Not all my reading ability.
They also mentioned in the bulletin that the week 2, 3, and 4 qualifiers should be receiving emails in their inbox. I'm just going to put this out there on the podcast publicly. I'm sure everyone by now knows of the cheating that's going on throughout the playlist, and there's a sign-out glitch and everything. Not going to dive into it really much here. It's out there. I've made comments on Twitter. People have made their opinions on everything. If you want to know more about it, there's threads on teambeyond.net. There's Twitter posts about it. There's lots of different places where you can find out about it. I'm sure there's some few point posts on Waypoint about it even. So it's
only a few threads have been locked about it.
It's definitely a big issue, and people have big concerns, and it's an unfortunate situation, and I personally don't agree with how this tournament's been run for the majority of the time, and there are other people that feel the same way. So,
as someone who hasn't paid as much attention to kind of the outer workings of the Global Championship, how rampant is it, like, ratio-wise?
So this is just what I've heard on down the grapevine. I don't know how accurate or true it is, but from what I've heard,
bag of salt, ladies and gentlemen.
For the online qualifiers, everyone that has technically qualified, there's only been like 4 or 5 that have truly qualified on original accounts.
Ouch.
Yeah, that's just what I've heard. I don't know how accurate that is. So out of the first 4 weeks, out of those, what would be 16 qualifiers, only like 4 or 5 of those actually qualified properly without using sign in and out glitches and alt accounts and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
That's what I've heard.
I'd like to talk to you about some of the stuff that's happening with it after the tournament's over. The tournament's over, so that way people can't exploit it during the tournament.
Right. We're aware it's out there, just making you guys aware that it's out there and is something that people have voiced major concerns about.
File complaint system on Xbox Live is your friend. Really, it is. The enforcement team normally does a really good job.
Well, there's even an issue there.
Well, forget everything I just said. Again.
So, there's info out there. So, people are... Yeah. If you want to know more about it, then definitely hit me up on Twitter. I'll tweet you back on things. You can hit me up via email. You can look around. There's posts about it, but we're not going to dive into it too much here. It's out there. It's unfortunate, but things going on right now as it is. So a while back ago, I think it was 2 weeks or last week. I think it was 2 weeks ago, but 343 announced that some of the winners from AGL were going to be getting invites to the Global Championship Finals in Seattle. They weren't getting paid or anything for the round-trip expenses like the qualifiers from RTX and Gamescom are getting, but they are basically invited to this invitational bracket where they can compete and try to get themselves into the finals. And again, that list is for AGL 3 through AGL...
9.
6. The first... AGL 7. The first place 4v4 teams all get invites to the invitational bracket. In AGL 8 and AGL 9, the top 4 of 4v4 teams get invites to the invitational bracket. And then for AGL 7 through AGL 9, the top 16 FFA players from each event get invites to the invitational bracket.
Huh.
Yeah. So lots of people from there are...
Lots of really top competitive people.
Yeah. Lots of top competitive people.
Huh.
They sent out some invites to some community leaders, and Podtacular just happened to be one of them. So we have
how convenient.
I know, we have some invites, and actually, we do have a couple to give away. There are qualifications that you have to meet. You do have to follow the rules and regulations of the tournament as they're stated. Like there are certain states that can't participate, but we do have about, I think, 2 left over that we can give to people that are going to PAX. So, if you are going to PAX, then you need to do a couple things in order to possibly get a couple of invitations to the championship if you are listening to this podcast. So what you need to do is you need to send me an email, duststorm@podtacular.com. We'll get all the formal information later, but you need to do it by this coming Saturday, August 17th, because all of these stuff is due on the 18th. So by Saturday, send me an email, duststorm@podtacular, with your name and your gamertag, and why you think you deserve to be playing in the finals. It can be something witty. It could be something funny. It could be something completely serious based on your skill. If you have a video that you want to accompany with it, like a montage that's been made of you, it's like showing how good you are at Halo, or maybe just how crazy funny you are at Halo and it'd be nice just to play, send it to me. I will take into consideration all of the entries I get, and then based on that, I will contact a few people and see if they're available and interested. And if they are, I will gather up information, and you will be receiving an invite to the Halo 4 Invitational bracket. Now, of course, you do need to be going to PAX and everything, so make sure you are able to go and not just taking up a spot that someone else could use.
Yeah, you should really make clear that this is not a paid trip. This is only the invite to
Correct.
The free-for-all.
Correct.
You have to have your flight. You have to have your hotel. If you don't have your flight and hotel and you're going to PAX, you should really get into that because it's only 2 weeks away.
Right.
So
at this point, though, if you don't have it, I'm not sure if you're going or not.
Yeah. So you're cool with me just filling up your email with pictures of bacon and corgis for the invite, right?
Well, I've already talked to you specifically about it, and yeah, no, please don't.
Simply put, I'm an enforcer.
Do not spam me. Do not. If you spam me, you will not be considered.
Even if it's corgis?
Even if it's corgis.
Are you going to be live tweeting so I can see this from the Enforcer Shift? Or some live tweet tweeting out some of the highlights?
You mean during the tournament?
Will Spectacular have a presence at the
Halo 4? Oh, yes, definitely. We will definitely have a presence at the Halo 4 Global Championship.
Awesome. Thank you for being my eyes and ears.
Yeah, we will definitely be there. We will definitely be there. So,
How would I find you if I were to wander into Battle Royale Hall, Deathstorm? How could I find the magnificent and very tall Deathstorm? What should I look for?
Very tall, for one. I will be likely wearing a Podtacular button. And I do have a couple of buttons to give away. I'll be having a wristband as well. And I have a Podtacular t-shirt that I'll be wearing on one of the days. I'm not sure which day yet I'll be wearing it. But I will be wearing that Podtacular shirt. Probably Saturday or Sunday. So, I'm pretty hard to miss.
He's really hard to miss. He'll also be the guy that has a camera on the stage.
Yes, that is true.
With permission, of course. And filming and doing crazy, like, panning shots and zoom shots. He actually doesn't do that. He's really professional about cameras.
Well, trying. I have a new DSLR, which I'm still novice at. So, working on it. So, at the end of the bulletin, of course, we have the screenshots, which we go through every week. This week's theme is green. So, it's too bad Green Skull's not on this podcast.
Yeah, there's a suspicious lack of Green Skull in these pictures.
I know, right?
There's one on that first image. That's sort of...
It's not the unicorn helmet.
Not really, no.
The only one that could possibly be him is the sixth...
The one right below that.
No, the eighth one. Because he has the unicorn helmet one, but that's not his helmet, so...
Well...
I don't think he's featured in here. And they usually have the gamer tags in here for the people that submit, or the people that they pick the screenshots from, and they didn't do that this week, so...
Well, if you would read, if you... I'm sure you have read, the yellow text right above that says... Impression.
Yeah.
What is it? Orange? Best BS Angel impression. As you may have noticed.
Oh, gosh.
The file browser is acting up a bit this evening. I'll stop right now. And load times might be longer than usual. If one of the below masterpieces belong to you, don't worry. We'll be adding in the appropriate titles, author names, as soon as everything is back to normal. Jess, please don't kill me.
Probably getting fired anyways.
Yeah, well, my tenure at 343 was a whole 1 second.
It's okay. I've been fired a few times as well.
Oh, all right. What was your job title?
unofficial podcast liaison, I think.
For Halofest?
I guess I don't know.
Last year I was fired from 343 because I walked by the booth right as a dev kit broke. Or crashed. And then inside of the Halo 4 panel, because they let me in, they're blaming me for the Griffball demo not working. And there was something else. Oh, yes.
Don't tell Goose that.
No, she knows. There was a build of Halo 4 that I broke on the show floor, so everything that went wrong with 343 was blamed on me, and then I got fired at the end of the weekend.
Nice.
And when I had my PAX yearbook and I had everyone sign it, Allison Stroll wrote, "Don't break my shit."
That's funny. I love
Allison Stroll so much.
Oh, you know she's on leave right now.
No!
Yeah, so I don't think we'll see her at PAX. Maybe we will. It'd be cool to meet up with her again, but I don't know if we'll see her at PAX.
I owe her all the hugs ever.
Yeah, so... All right, ladies and gentlemen, that has been episode 387 of Podtacular. This is coming along quite nicely. We're almost getting to 400. We'll be there by the end of the year.
What are you going to do for 400?
I don't know if we're going to do anything special for 400. I think maybe by then we'll have a new website out.
Halo 400. Eh?
Oh.
Jeez. It's been a suspicious lack of puns this episode. I'm sorry. I apologize.
It's all right. We kind of expunged all the puns at the beginning.
Yep.
Before we did the podcast. So you guys have been blessed.
At PAX, you'll be unblessed.
Oh, goodness. All right. So everyone, thank you again for tuning in. Molten Slowet, thank you again for coming on and giving us an exclusive look at what people believe about Spartan Ops and how they feel about the experience. And it looks like the overall reaction was pretty positive.
Yep.
Comes out to what we expect for most of the survey questions and a few little off ones, which is good to see that we don't know quite everything that everyone's doing, or else we would be kind of crazy.
Am I allowed to plug myself?
Yeah, plug yourself.
Boom. Plug it in. Twist it. Now it's a twist lock. If you're interested in bacon, nerdy pickup lines, corgis, or dancing, or Halo, or actually any combination of the four, check me out on Twitter, at Molten Sloa. You can also go check out the Opscast on iTunes if you enjoy reliving the past until it abruptly stops. Again, it'll happen just soon-ish, soon in Valve time. If you're interested in listening to me ramble more about topics that I know moderately about, check out the Shintno on iTunes, which is the Rooster Teeth Plotcast. And that's all I got. If you're at PAX, I'll be one of the enforcers behind a soundboard. I don't know which one yet, but I'll be an enforcer behind a soundboard. Come find me and give me a hug. I give really good hugs.
Awesome.
Duststorm knows.
Indeed. So.
That's all I got.
That's fine. So, again, thank you, everyone. This has been episode 387. Remember, you can find us on podtacular.com, and if you're there, you can send us a submission. Which can be any question relating to anything that we talked about here on the podcast, anything we've talked about in the past. Any questions that you have that's Halo related, feel free to shoot it to us using our submit button on our homepage, or you can send it to us directly at submissions@podtacular.com. You can also check us out on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch, where we do our live stream shows. Remember, guys, this one we had to do pre-recorded because I am traveling to go see my folks this weekend. Haven't seen them in a while, so just kind of a my mom is missing seeing me, so I'm going and visiting them. So this has been pre-recorded, but we normally do our shows live on Thursdays at 8 p.m. So definitely check it out then.
Can you tell Mama Deathstorm that I said hi?
I will tell her.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
As far as other scheduled live events that we have Wacky Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time every Wednesday, and that's just customs that we roll with. Some of the classics that we like from Pete the Duck, Darth Human, and some Slenderman ones, some race ones, all that good kind of stuff. We're trying to build out our library a little bit, trying to find time to go through and get some maps. But if you guys have maps to suggest to play, if you are even interested in coming to our customs game, definitely shoot them over to us as well.
Oh man, actually, just really quick tangent. During the Halo 4 panel, the PAX used to ask when Phantom Pistols would come back. And Bravo said, we'll look into it. And then I made it in Halo 4. Can we play it in Wacky Wednesday?
Definitely.
Yes! If you like Phantom Pistols on Waterworks, You're going to love Phantom Pixels in Halo 4.
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. All right. As far as the website, we do have a donation button. We don't do the show, of course, charging people for money. We do it for free, but any little bit helps. So if you have the heart to donate, we ask that you do so through our homepage. There's the PayPal donate button where you can go over and securely just drop us a few bucks, whether it be $5 or $10 or however you feel like giving. Any little bit helps. So you can do that. It would be much appreciated. With that said, I believe we are done for the night. It's been a little bit of a different show. The order's been different, and Brent's, of course, not here. But Sloa, it was great to have you on. Good to have you on for a real show, and to have you on to actually talk about something that you wanted to talk about.
Thank you very much for having me. It's always a pleasure to come on Pawtacular.
Awesome. Well, until next time, guys, keep on fragging Spartan Ops statistics. Pew, 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 pew.